Well, good morning, church family. By the time you hear this, it'll be Sunday morning. I'm sitting here Saturday evening and got my tea here. I decided to try tea instead of coffee. And I had some... I've been thinking a little while that maybe it'd be neat for me to start a kind of a podcast. And when I heard... I don't know where it's going to lead, if I'm going to do it on a regular basis or not, but I was just thinking that if our church is canceled, that I just had some thoughts about all the, you know, everything that's been going on, and thought, well, maybe it'd be a good time to record it and see where it goes. Hope everybody's doing okay. Hope you're staying healthy, and hope you're enjoying time at home with your family. That's something that I have been enjoying, being able to be home with the children and Brooke, and it's been interesting. You know, sometimes I don't like to how busy my life has been, and I'm looking for ways to slow down a little bit, and then along comes all these social distancing and quarantining and all that. And it's given me an opportunity to spend a little more time at home, other than I am still working regularly at this point. And I do hope that it does, you know, that I can keep working. That's something I would definitely would be thankful for if we can keep getting materials and things like that. But yeah, so I don't know what you guys think about what all is going on. You hear people that are really concerned about the virus, the coronavirus, or they call it COVID-19, I think is how it's pronounced, COVID-19. But it's got some people really scared, and it's got others very skeptical. It's got others thinking it's some kind of political conspiracy. And maybe everybody has a point, you know, so I don't really know, think of it myself. But what I do know is that there is, there's a virus going around. There's people that are catching it. I don't know, you know, how serious it really is. It does seem to be targeting those that have a compromised immune system and those that are older and not doing as good health-wise. Seems to be hitting them a lot more severe. And there is people that are dying. But then there's also people that, from what I understand, have fairly mild symptoms. And it acts much like the normal flu. Someone told me, or I heard somewhere online, that it's about twice as hard to beat as the normal flu virus would be. But then I think I also heard that someone said it's 10 times more contagious. I don't know if those are accurate numbers or not. But it's amazing to see how people are responding to this. And this just seems to be so much, there's a lot of fear, there's a lot of anxiety, and there's just, there's people that are definitely, really scared, and taking, it seems, extreme precautions. And, you know, are those necessary or not? You know, we stopped in at a restaurant the other day, and, you know, all the tables were pushed together, all, you know, signs were up, do not sit at the tables. There was 5 people working in there, and Johnny and I were the only customers at that point, and it sounded like we were maybe number 5 and number 6 for the day at that point. And business was really down, and it was just kind of a little bit of a sober mood in there. So I was been thinking about this, and it was just so interesting for me to think about how, you know, this is a virus that can affect our physical bodies. And thinking of all the fear, the anxiety, the precautions, you know, and they talk about the social distancing, they talk about the quarantine, you know, being quarantined, staying at home. There's some states that are totally shutting down the workforce, other than for those that maybe would be essential to life, you know, that can't shut down. But all of that, to try to contain or try to slow down the spread of a virus that can harm our physical bodies, and even a virus that, you know, your chance of dying from it would be actually very, very small in the whole, in the big picture. Now, depending who would catch it, there would be a lot more danger there. But generally, if you're a healthy individual, younger and middle-aged, you'd have very, very little chance. You would probably be much more likely to have an accident on the way to church than to even catch the virus, much less die from it. But there's a lot of precaution being taken. And, you know, what is politically motivated and what is genuine concern? And, you know, we don't know. But there is a lot of things going on now in response, supposedly, to the virus. Well, when I was thinking about that, I thought, you know, if I would spend half of that effort in protecting my faith, my soul, from things that are a threat to its to the health of my faith, the health of my soul, how much more beneficial maybe would that be? And that was just a interesting thought that I had, was the fact of, and I've been studying a lot, and have been in interest of mine in, you know, making decisions in my life to protect my faith. That has changed the reason that I make a lot of decisions anymore, is the thought of protecting my faith. I used to make decisions because I thought it was pleasing to God in the way I lived my life. And then it seemed often I would deal with condemnation when I didn't feel I made the right choice. But it was a really an enlightening thing for me to think about, why am I making the decisions that I'm making? Like, why am I living a life with values? Why am I, more specifically, living within the Mennonite culture? And I think one of those reasons is that I feel there's tools within the Mennonite culture to protect, that I can, there are value to me in protecting my faith. And yeah, I was thinking of a passage of scripture that would kind of go along with that, and I thought of Mark chapter 4, and I'd like to read a little bit in Mark 4. When Jesus was explaining the parable, or when he was telling the parable, in Mark 4:7, he says, "And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit." And something that I want to say about this passage is that, think of this in light of protecting your faith, where we know that the seed is the Word of God. And we know that as God's word takes root and grows in our life, that's our faith, our trust in God and in Christ. That's when the word of God grows, that's our faith growing within us. And so the point of this parable is, to me, is more about protecting, creating an environment for my faith to grow. And that means taking away and eliminating things that are a threat to my faith. And when we can create a good environment for our faith to grow, for the Word of God to take root in our lives, then you know, that's kind of the point here, is creating a good environment for our faith to grow, and then our faith becomes healthy, our faith continues to grow, our relationship with God benefits from that, relationships around us benefit from it, and there's so many good things that happen. We are living within the will of God when we actually have an environment where our faith can grow, our faith in the things of God. And so verse 7 again, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. Then when Jesus was explaining the parable, something that it just stood out to me, and here in verse 19, the way he explained it, talking about, and I'll read verse 18 along with that, and these are they which are sown among thorns. These are such as hear the word, and the cares of this life, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. So that was just a passage I wanted to share in light of thinking about protecting our faith. It says that they heard the word. They went to church. They heard the sermon. And it was sown in their hearts. They intended for it to grow. But there was things that were in their environment, in their garden, that were a threat to the word, to the seed that was there. It was a threat, and it ended up not being more than just a threat. It was those things took root and began to grow alongside the word. And it says, the cares of this world. And think about how the world is reacting to this virus. You can see what they care about. And it's about protecting themselves. And I'm not saying there's not a genuine concern there, but just looking at the overall picture, how the world responds to fear of a physical threat. The cares of this world, we can get so caught up in it. And we can get caught up in it to where it begins to choke out our faith. Because as we become more involved and more worried and more anxious, it chokes out our faith. Those are things that are threats. It says, the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. So the word of God was trying to grow. It was trying to bear fruit. It was growing alongside, but there was not a good environment for it to grow. And so eventually it got choked out and overtaken by the cares of this world. And so that's something that I want to encourage y'all with, is just, you know, don't let the care of what's going on here right now in our world choke out the hope and the peace and the comfort that we can have in having a relationship with God. You know, thinking of, for a lot of us, I think, you know, me included, there's more of a fear right now for me of what the economy is going to do, more than the virus, because I've talked to people that are twice my age or close to that, and they've never seen anything like this in their life. Now, some people may disagree with that, but I've talked to several that said they've never seen something like this, the actions that everyone's taking in response to this virus. And so it can be scary times, especially, you know, for me, thinking of what could happen to the economy. You know, for me being the provider, the financial provider, you know, I'm going out and working every day. It's a scary thought to think that, you know, what if right now we have a lot of work. We have work lined up for several months at least. And, you know, so I can think, oh, we're set. But what if the shingle company ends up having to shut down? What if we are forced to shut down? then what? And those can be scary thoughts. But there's two sections of scripture that I want to point out in response to that. And they're both very familiar. It's when I'm sharing these scriptures, they're ones we already know, we're already familiar with. And I like to say it this way: I'm not telling you, or I'm not sharing these things because we don't know them, but because we do know them. And they can really be of comfort to us during this time. So the one is in Romans 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. During a time like this, when there's so much fear and uncertainty out there, for us to be able to concentrate, focus on, latch onto, internalize, this verse, is it still true? Of course we know it's true, but is it true for you? And are we living our lives according to this? According to the knowledge that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. You know, if that's true for my life, you know, even the fact of, you know, there's been some that have, you know, I think are pretty unsure that maybe we made the right decision in canceling church. And there's a lot of uncertainty of what actions we should take, what actions we shouldn't take, what is giving in, what is common sense. But really, when we make the decision we feel is best at the time, but with all our hearts, we believe this verse, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Can God take our lives, our decisions, maybe even our imperfect decisions, but because we love him, can he take those and use them and work with them and use them for his glory? I believe he can. And that's what I want to encourage y'all with, is that during this time, make the decision you think is best, but whatever you do, remember this verse, believe it, memorize it if you haven't, and live by it. Because this isn't just a suggestion. It says, and we know that all things work together for good. And, you know, the verses surrounding this verse is great too. Be good for you to go and read those. A lot of comfort, a lot of security in those verses. But just this one that I want to zero in on, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And I want to challenge you to really give that some serious thought. Let that be in your mind. Let that be something that you dwell on, rather than looking at the news. And it's not wrong to look at the news. I keep up with the news. But that the what's scary in the news must not overtake the truth of this verse. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So God can use, because you're his child, because he loves you, because of the work that Christ did, God is able to use anything in your life as his child and bring good out of it. Is that true or not? It's true. We'd say it's true by reading the verse, but is it true in your life? So then the next section of verses is in Luke 12, and it's something that my wife and I talked about recently, is that, you know, during this time of uncertainty, this time of where it's so easy to worry, be anxious, these verses in Luke 12 are still true. Verse 22, and he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for the body, what you shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Now think about those words in light of a scary economy. You know, that hits really close home for me. But there's such comfort and such peace when I read these words, these very familiar words that I know, but to read them again and dwell on them, meditate on them, it's been so good for me. Take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. There's more to life than the food you eat and the clothes you wear. There's more to life than that. We have a greater purpose. We have an eternal purpose, and through that we can have hope through anything that we're going through. It's impossible for anything in this life to take away our hope if we're a child of God. And moving on in verse 24, consider the ravens. And it's, you know, we read these verses, we know them, but to really look out and see a bird and actually, you know, think about their life. It says they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. We know that, but how often do we internalize that and use it to build our faith? How much more are ye better than the fowls? Awesome words. And which of you with taking thought can add to his stature one cubit? I like that verse. And in my own words would be, you know, which of us by worrying about something can make any bit of difference? In verse 26, if ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? I just love that. Which of you with taking thought can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? And I think what he's saying there is, it's good to be sensible, like to use caution, and to take measures that are going to be healthy and helpful in a situation like this. But we can take those steps without worrying, without being, you know, restless, and without being fearful. It's possible. It's possible to make informed, common sense decisions and do what we think is best, even though we don't always know if we're making the right choice. But we can have that thought process, make those decisions without being all anxious and fearful. And that's what I would want to encourage y'all with. Also consider the lilies, verse 27, how they grow. How do they grow? They toil not, they spin not, they're not worried. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. Do we really live that way, knowing that God knows what we need, and God cares about us? Too often I think it just rests squarely on my shoulders. But God knows what, in fact it says, your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. He cares about us very deeply. And I think if we really knew, you know, how much he really cared for us and loved us, I mean, think about it. He sent his only son to die to have a restored relationship with us. He cares about us. So we don't have to worry about the things of this world. You know, the things that are so easy for us to get anxious about. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So thinking about that, you know, I just hope that's an encouragement to everyone. And during this time where it's easy to be fearful and anxious, let's keep our eyes where they need to be, where they should be. Let's keep looking up. Let's not be fearful. And let's not be anxious. Let's not be of doubtful mind. But let's trust God. And I think if we can do that, you know, I'm aware of several situations. In fact, I could probably say lots of situations where there's people that we know that their minds, you know, they're going through tough things right now. They're going through hard times right now, and their minds are not hardly even on, you know, the virus or the economy, or because they have their own heartaches. And I think if we can not let be overtaken by the cares of this life, by this, the fears of this virus and fears of the economy and things like that, it will clear our mind to be sensitive and open to the needs of those around us, for people that are still hurting. You know, life goes on. It feels like life kind of stopped right now until further notice, kind of that thing. But it hasn't. And there's people that are still in hard situations that has nothing to do with the virus, nothing to do with the economy, but have more to do with hurting hearts, hurting relationships. Let's care for those people, and let's be sure that our minds are clear and tuned into the things of God so that we can be sensitive and care for those people. So that's something that I just wanted to share, and I thought, well, you know, if I can record this, and I'll probably send it out to you, I'll just put a link probably on the men's group me and on the ladies group me, so that you can listen to this if you want, and I hope you do, and I hope it's a blessing to you. And if for no other reason, it was really good for me to talk to myself tonight, to talk my thoughts out, to read those verses, to internalize these truths, has been really good for me. And so that's going to be it. I hope y'all have a good day, and I hope your thoughts can be on the things of God and can be not be anxious and fearful. And I'm going to try to finish up my tea before it gets too cold. God bless each one, and we'll plan to see you the next time we have a church service, and God bless each one of you.